from studios on the campus of the University of Common Sense in the Big Easy, the professor of Thinkology, and a man dedicated to truth and common sense. America, class is in session right here, right now, with your host, Jim Brown.
Hey, happy weekend to you. Happy Cinco de Mayo weekend. This is a big weekend for Hispanics and for, hey, we love festivals, especially if you live down this country where I live. We have so darn many festivals. It got to seem like we got them every week. And we do so all over the country. Our listeners in New York have massive number of festivals. You folks out west do the same thing. But to the 52 million Hispanics, this is a very special weekend, Cinco de Mayo. And we're going to talk about it here later on the show. Sure glad you're joining us on the Common Sense Show today. Before we started, I wanted to respond. I was kind of overwhelmed with the number of emails I received after a comment I made last week involving baptism in particular, and then also doing good works. I talk a good bit about our obligation to help someone else and just do some good works. That's not a religious overtone exclamation or challenge to all of us. That's just something that we should do, whatever our religion may be. But I tied it into religion, and as I say, we're not a religious show, but an awful lot of you listen to us on Sunday. You're on your way home from church, or you're going to a late afternoon service, and so you have some religious connotation in your mind, and I talk about that from the common sense perspective, not pushing one religion or another. But I made a comment that stirred up an awful lot of emails, and I'd love to hear from my listeners. Our website, by the way, is www.jimbrownusa.com, where it's very easy to find out how to contact me. In the discussion, I talked about the fact that I think it's very important that you help out in your community. We've talked a lot about volunteerism. I'm disappointed that there's a sense within the country that it's not that necessary to volunteer anymore. When I was out of high school and into college, it was the thing to do to join the military, to do a great deal of volunteer work. I don't sense that Americans are volunteering as much. A lot of you are. A lot of you are. But I don't sense that in the vast numbers that we're volunteering like we used to do so. And I made a comment relating it to the Bible that, religion to me has gotten so complicated. And I've studied religion like so many of you have, but, you go from the creation of Christianity to going into the whole flow of Jesus Christ and to the apostles, and the Catholic Church built up this huge hierarchy that then split off into Protestantism with Martin Luther, and then today so many different aspects of the church. I said through it all that if you're a Christian, that Jesus Christ said basically you do two things. You believe in God and you do good works. And that's it. That's it. You know, you can complicate it too much. Well, out of a lot of that, some of you referred me to Paul in the Bible. And Paul was a massive force in the Bible, what wrote 12 of the 17 books of the New Testament, or really a very prolific writer and had a huge influence on throughout the whole Catholic Church. I mean, of the 27 books of the New Testament, I think Paul was credited with authoring 13 of them, if I remember correctly. Again, I'm not a biblical scholar. But Paul seemed to downplay the good works. He merely said, if you got faith, that's all you need to do. And Martin Luther picked up on that when he split off and put his 97 theses on the door of the church. Luther was kind of the patriarch of splitting off and forming Protestantism. He didn't make a big deal about good works. It was just all faith. And I said, no, I don't think that's right. I think you got to do good works. You've got to do more than just have faith. I don't think the good Lord would want you to sit there and just pray to him all day long. He'd want you to get out in your community and help your fellow man. And by the way, one of the most important writers within the New Testament is James, and I like that name. the Jim and James all ties in together. But he talked a good bit about good works. So let me quote you from James. I looked it up again. And again, we're not a religious program. I'm just trying to answer the emails I got this week. Here's what James says in the Bible, chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no good deeds? Can such things save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing to help, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accomplished by action, is dead. And James also says, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. So faith without deeds, quite frankly, according to the book of James, is useless. And I don't want to make a big deal about that. If you want to debate that as a biblical scholar, if it's a good Sunday school lesson, if it's something that you want to analyze in various texts of the Bible, that's where it gets so complicated. If you look over the Bible, it's a huge, massive, complicated study. Because you go from the oral tradition, and then you go into the first scribes that wrote down what he thought the apostles said, did that in about 80 or 90 after death, and did it on maybe sheepskin, and then that went into parchment, and it went from the Hebrew to the Greek to the Aramaic, and then into the Latin. And every time you interpreted the Bible in a different language, there was interpretations of just what the words meant. And then it went in finally into the European countries, where it went into Martin Luther with German and France, and finally became English that we read today. We've gone through 15 or 20 different translations. I mean, so different meanings could be given to different texts. I understand that. I'm just trying to simplify it in my life is all I'm trying to do. And I said on the show, and I stand by that, that you got to have more than faith. People sit there and it's nothing. Look, I applaud those who go to church every day. But I hope besides praying to the good Lord, I just don't know if a good Lord just wants someone to worship me all day long if I was the Lord. You know, I think you'd want to have someone out there performing, helping, doing good deeds in the community. I think that's important. But you know what? That's just my opinion, and everybody's entitled to their own opinion. You can do it any way you want to do it. And so that's why I bring on that connotation in terms of what is right for you. I just disagree with Paul in the Bible, and he was a major force in the Bible. I think that James makes better sense that you do good works. The other thing that stirred up some controversy is I made some comment about how I was baptized. I was baptized in the Community Christian Church. You listeners up in Kansas City, Missouri, we've got a lot of listeners up in Kansas City. I was baptized at the Community Christian Church on Main Street down by the plaza. The church was built by Frank Lloyd Wright back in 1888. That was my first church when I was born and raised up in Kansas City, Missouri, Kansas City, Kansas, in that area up there. And my family took me there. We went to Sunday school and then church and came back for Sunday evening services. Frank Pippin was the minister, and he baptized me. And I made the comment that I was baptized by being fully submerged. Community Christian Church is an evangelical church, and in many of the Protestant sects particularly, you are fully baptized. That's what Jesus came to be baptized by John the Baptist. We all know the story, and that's all very clear in the Bible. And I made the comment that the Greek word baptizio was translated in English as baptize, and it means to dip completely. Its word to drown is also a tie of that particular word. So linguistically, the term always refers to immersion or submerging in water. And I just made the comment that that's how I was baptized. You can go into the book of John, talk about the River Jordan and how he describes Jesus as coming up from the water. Now, that's just how I did it. There's no magic way to be baptized. Too many of you listeners out there, the sprinkling on the head, the Catholics do that. Many others do that. I just like to be baptized. But that's an individual decision of your individual faith. That's how I feel. Feel very strongly about it, but I certainly respect your particular opinion. So we've done our religious segment for all you folks driving home. Hey, Jim Brown, The Common Sense Show. My website, www.jimbrownusa.com. Freshen up your coffee. We're going to come back and talk about a lot more.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com. Working on a home or residential painting project? There's only one name you need to know. PPG. PPG has earned the respect of professionals and homeowners alike because we combine the latest paint technology with expertise and knowledgeable service. PPG offers a broad range of primers, paints, stains, and specialty products to meet all your needs. Available at either our PPG Pittsburgh Paints or PPG Porter Paints Company-owned store or independent dealer locations throughout the U.S. Each PPG product comes with the customized service you deserve to make sure you get the right fit for the job. And choosing colors has never been easier thanks to the PPG Voice of Color system that helps users discover colors that match their personality. So for the best quality products, excellent service, easy-to-use color tools, and great results, visit your local PPG Pittsburgh Paints or PPG Porter Paints location today.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Is this the year you finally get serious about your family's drinking water? If so, keep listening for a special offer from Big Berkey Water Filters. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water is fluoridated? Berkey Water Filters distinguish themselves from many other filtration systems with the capability to significantly reduce dangerous chlorine, fluoride, arsenic, and disinfection byproducts from municipal water via the Black Berkey and PF line of filters. Then there's affordability. At only 1.7 cents per gallon, Berkey Water Filters purify treated and untreated water, even stagnant pond water. Stop and think how much money you could save by simply reducing buying bottled water and using water filtered by your Berkey water filter. No need to be constantly replacing expensive filters with a Berkey. A single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. Choose the best size Berkey for your needs at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And right now, all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Just call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Free shipping on every order over $50. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
To have a fighting chance against cold and flu bugs, get the world's best garlic extract, Allicin Plus C. Fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi with Allicin Plus C. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Allicin Plus C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Allicin Plus C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Allicin Plus C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Allicin Plus C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Allicin Plus C. To order, call 855-ALLICIN. That's 855-255-4246. Or go to AllicinPlus.com, spelled AllicinPlus.com. Get Allicin Plus C from Affinity Health Products.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here. Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
I wrote a column that I think is important this week, and if you don't read my columns, I'd love for you to do so. Go to my website at www.jimbrownusa.com. I put a new column up every week on that site, and also it's on our GNCLive.com website here for the station. You can find it there and a number of websites throughout the country. But in any event, I try to write something that's important that affects you and me. Now, this week I wrote about big banks wanting to stay too big to fail. And a lot of you say, well, that's kind of dry, all that financial regulation, that really shouldn't affect me, and do I really care that much about it? Did you know that the five biggest banks in the United States control assets add up to 60% of America's gross national product. Five banks control 60% of the gross national product of this country. Now, that's not free market competition. In fact, there's no present free market in the financial system at all, because, you see, the government acts as the insurance policy. These big banks have what we call Wall Street welfare. If something goes wrong, they got the government to come in there and fess them back up, stand them back up again. And so, therefore, they have an incentive not to really worry that much about their solvency. They can take the risk to try to make those big bucks and get a big paycheck. And then the financial services that rate these banks, they factor in when you're going to hedge your bet and see what the banks are worth. The funds that oversee these banks, these rating agencies, say, well, if they fail, the government's going to take care of them. So that kind of boosts their rating and gives an artificial support that you and I pay for. You see, we got to bail them out when they go under, as they did back in 2008. All these banks went under. You and I had to come up, get this number, $700 billion. I didn't say million. $700 billion. And so, again, it's corporate welfare, it's Wall Street welfare, and there's just no reason why this money should come out. 8 years ago, for example, J.P. Morgan Chase got $25 billion poured into them by the federal government. Bank of America cashed in for $15 billion. Citigroup, $25 billion. Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley, each $10 billion. And I can go on and on and on. Well, piece of legislation you might have heard of called Dodd-Frank was passed. This was passed to kind of put some teeth into the financial regulatory laws so these banks wouldn't go under and they didn't have to come up with all this taxpayers' money to bail them out. Unfortunately, it didn't go far enough. The reserves that banks had to keep back, you know how you got to have money stuck back for a rainy day. You and I do that. You got to have a little stuck back. Happens in case some unforeseen illness or some unforeseen situation where you need some money. Maybe it's a wedding or something like that. You've got a little stuck back, or at least we all try to do that. Well, Dodd-Frank really didn't address having the money stuck back in reserve. In fact, the chairman of the House Committee on Financial Services, who's a guy named Jeb Harlezing, said this. He said that the bottom line is that Dodd-Frank didn't end too big to fail. Dodd-Frank institutionalized and codified too big to fail. It kind of firmed up the fact the government will bail you out. And then there's some international regulations. Again, I know this sounds complicated, but it hits home to your pocket and the taxes you pay. There's something called Basel III, which is an international agreement between the United States and all these other countries, that they're all going to abide by certain rules and monitoring banks and insurance companies. That's all fine, but the problem is you've got to assume that all these regulators across the globe can handle the job and that they are capable and willing to do these tough regulatory efforts that sometimes hurt their own economy. Lloyd's of London is a good example. I was insurance commissioner in Louisiana back in the 1990s, and Lloyd's of London had the biggest presence of any insurance group in all of America right here in the United States. You know what? They'd never been audited. They'd never been audited ever by the United States. Now, insurance is regulated on the state-by-state level. It shouldn't be. It'll be a federal regulation. But in any event, it's on the state-by-state level. And so, therefore, insurance regulators are supposed to regulate Lloyd's of London halfway across the globe. I was the first commissioner or regulator that ever examined Lloyd's of London, and we found a lot of problems. In any event, here's what I'm getting to. Two U.S. senators have taken the bull by the horns. One is named Sherrod Brown, for you listeners up in Ohio. He's your U.S. senator. You Louisiana folks, David Vitter has joined Sherrod Brown. Kind of an interesting mix of the Bobbsey twins. Sherrod Brown's a moderate Democrat. David Vitter is a conservative Republican. But they both feel like there's not enough teeth into the law. So they put some teeth in there and raise this requirement in terms of the reserves you have to have. And I think they've done a real good job. They're both capable legislators, and I think they've got a good piece of legislation. Now, it's very controversial. It's been editorialized across the country. Of course, the big banks are just appalled by it. They're going to spend millions and millions of dollars with lobbyists trying to stop this new legislation, this new Brown-Bitter proposal. Sherrod Brown, by the way, he's no relation to me. He's a real details guy. I had the chance to work with him on a number of election reform proposals when we both served as secretaries of state of our respective states back in the 1980s. David Vitter is a major Republican senator from Louisiana when he was in the legislature in Louisiana, and I was the insurance commissioner. We worked on a number of proposals together. So they're bright guys. They come from different philosophical slants, but they both agree that the big banks have taken advantage of the regulatory system. They want it stopped. So they've got some real interesting legislation that stirred up a lot of controversy and is going to be something we'll hear about in the future. We don't need the five biggest banks in the U.S. The five biggest banks in the U.S. control, that they control assets that have up to 60% of America's gross national product. That's not right. That's not right. And again, they get into trouble and they kick in with the Wall Street welfare. And this risky behavior has become the norm on Wall Street, just the way it goes. You know, Thomas Jefferson wrote back when he helped form this whole union. Here's what he said. I believe that banking institutions are more dangerous to her liberties than standing armies, talking about liberty, talking about the U.S. Let me tell you that again. I believe that banking institutions are more dangerous to American liberties than standing armies. He's making the point that when you control the money, you can have so much effect on the average person's life. The interest rates we're getting, virtually nothing. Getting, you know, what we are you getting 0.4%, 0.5%? Can't even get 1%. And yet inflation is going up at a much higher rate. So the cost is just astronomical to you and me. And one of the factors is that we're not regulating these big banks. In the movie Wall Street, Michael Douglas's character, remember Gordon Gekko? He summed up the attitude of these major U.S. banks quite well. Quote, greed is good. Greed is good. And they have in their minds good reason to be greedy because they got the federal government to bail them out. Want to read that column? Go to my website, www.jimbrownusa.com. It's up there here right now. Take a little pause, freshen up my coffee, stretch my back a little bit. We're going to come right back with you on the Common Sense Show.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
Can Heart and Body Extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been using Heart and Body Extract for approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I had very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking Heart and Body Extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of better body circulation?
Heart and Body Extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for long and healthy life.
Man, I love that buttstock pouch on your Mosin Nagant. Where'd you get it?
Strike Hard Gear. They have lots of hard-to-find gear for us comblock shooters, like chest rigs and pouches for your SKS Duckbill magazine.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Plus, a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. Enter GCN for a 5% discount on all products at StrikeHardGear.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Mother's Mother's Day is next week, and Pro Flowers is offering an amazing Mother's Day special. 100 stunning blooms for mom, plus a free glass vase for just $19.99. Plus, order today and you're automatically entered for a chance to win an amazing trip for mom. 3 lucky grand prize winners and a guest will be whisked away to your choice of Paris, Napa, or St. Thomas. Just go to proflowers.com, click on the microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code 5454. Order now from Pro Flowers to get huge savings. 100 colorful blooms for mom, guaranteed to stay fresh and beautiful for at least 7 full days, plus a free vase for only $19.99. But hurry, this incredible deal expires this Friday. And if you order this week, you're entered for a chance to win a trip for mom to an incredible destination. The only way to get this amazing deal and be entered to win the trip of a lifetime is to go to proflowers.com. Click on the radio microphone in the upper right corner and enter the secret code 5454.
No purchase necessary. Must be 18 or over. Restrictions apply. See rules of website for details.
How's your pH today? Are you acidic? How alkaline is your blood and body? What is the pH of the water you drink? We are AlkaVision, and we have the answers. Drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining vibrant health and high energy, because bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. If your drinking water isn't at a pH level of 8 or higher, boost it with AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Our unique formula will alkalize your water, ridding your body of harmful toxins and acid, and help regain energy and health. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise the pH of your body to optimal levels. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615, 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of thinkology, Jim Brown.
If you're a contractor working at home, spill people.
Michelle, we got you?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, fine. Glad to have you on the show today. And most of my listeners out there, Michelle, will say, no, wait a minute. If I committed the crime, I wouldn't even consider pleading guilty or taking a plea bargain or looking at some other alternatives. I'd fight this thing to the death. I'm innocent. I wouldn't give up. Often, though, it's very difficult to do in a case, isn't it, Michelle?
There's a lot of cost of making that decision. It's a decision that my husband and I made when he was falsely accused a number of years ago of threatening someone with a gun. But the cost, when I say it's a costly decision, it's costly in terms of dollars, because the cost of going to trial, if you're financing it yourself, probably doubles or triples the legal expenses that you're going to face. It's costly in terms of emotional and time, because it doubles or triples the amount of time it takes from when you've been accused to when it actually gets resolved. And during that period, not only are you spending money, but often you're required, because of the conditions of bail, to either have alcohol testing or meet with a counselor or not to leave the area. There's all sorts of restrictions on behavior that was perfectly normal to you for you before you had this incident actually happen.
Right. Well, before we break down the obligations, let's talk about the particular case of your husband. Let's see how you get there, because you said, you know, most people who've never been involved in the legal system, and I'm a lawyer and I have been, and I've represented a number of people that I found were innocent. So it can get complicated, but they think, look, it's just black and white. If I didn't commit a crime. No way I'm going to plead guilty to something like that. Tell us exactly what your husband did and how you got to this point to begin with.
Well, basically, we had a dinner party one night, some neighbors who we don't see very often, but they live very close to us, older couple, and their son, who happened to be a Navy SEAL. We invited them over for dinner. We had been out of town for a couple of months, and we came back, and they're an elderly couple, somewhat elderly, and they came up for dinner, and we had what we thought was a nice dinner party, and they left. And unbeknownst to us, the woman had taken offense at something like a comment my husband made. He told her she looked really hot. She's 75 years old and, you know, looks anything besides hot, if you'll excuse
me. She ought to love the compliment. She should
have said,
I'd like more compliments like that.
But she took offense to it, and we didn't realize it because she didn't say anything, and she left. You know, everything was fine. The party continued, and her son, who had a bit to drink, and we weren't worried about people drinking because nobody was driving. Everybody was just walking home. They were neighbors. There were no cars that were going to be driven. But he came back about an hour after the party and was very upset at this comment and forced my husband, under threat of some pretty serious bodily harm, to go with him and apologize. My husband did that, and I didn't know at the time that this person who was a very physically fit, I mean, he was an active Navy SEAL, so he was, you know, a physical force to be dealt with, had abused my husband along the walk, too.
Lost. Okay, got your connection. I'm sorry. We lost you there for a second. Now, go ahead, Michelle. So we heard you say that this young man was pushing your husband to apologize. Then what happened?
Well, I forced my husband to go with him. And when I say young, he was in his 40s. My husband went, and I didn't know at the time that this person physically abused him along the walk to go to the neighbor's house. And when he left, my husband, after he apologized, said to this person, you know, don't ever come on my property again. If you ever come near me or my wife, I will shoot you. And if I can't shoot you, I'm going to sue you. I'm going to sue the Navy. I'm going to ruin your career. I am going to ruin your life. Now, this person knew that my husband and I are avid hunters, and so we do have guns. That's not a secret. They're all in gun vaults and everything. But basically, my husband was, you know, just at that point, he'd had enough, and he didn't want this guy anywhere near us again. And he came home.
So he was charged with the crime. What was he charged the crime with?
He was charged with felony menacing, which basically means that he had threatened this person with a gun. Now, my husband did say, you know, if you ever come near us again, I'll shoot you. But he didn't have a gun. I mean, he was doing the dishes when this guy came into our house and forced him to go with him. But there was no evidence. There were no witnesses. There was absolutely nothing to collaborate. I mean, my husband was at the time 63. There was just nothing to collaborate. There was no precedence, you know, nothing that he or I had ever done that would say we would do something like this. There was no logical way for my husband to have actually gained access to a gun. But this person basically called 911. And if you think about it, it's I don't want to say it's brilliant, that's the wrong word, but basically this person had come into our house, threatened us, forced my husband to go with him, basically just about kidnapping him, and so he had really committed the crimes at that point, but by calling 911 and saying that my husband had threatened him with a gun, it was total role reversal. He became the victim, and we became the guilty party, the people who had done
something
wrong.
Michelle, let me ask you this. So then was your husband actually charged with the crime?
Absolutely. We didn't even know. I mean, obviously, we thought that was the end of a kind of a weird and unfortunate evening, perhaps, at that point. But about an hour later, our house was surrounded by a SWAT team. I mean, my husband was arrested. When we walked outside, there were sheriff's officers with bulletproof vests, with canine unit with them. They had rifles, shotguns, handguns. It was like a scene out of a Sylvester Stallone movie or something. It wasn't.
Right. Well, we've got a lot of ground to cover here, Michelle. So, was he? Tell us what transpired then. Did he go to trial?
He was arrested, and we made the decision. We were offered the opportunity to accept a plea bargain.
And let's stop right here. Michelle, let's stop right here. Tell our listeners, what do you mean by a plea bargain? What is a plea bargain?
Well, basically, what the crime you're accused of is a certain type of crime, a felony, and there's type 1, type 2, type 3 felonies, like different grades of felonies. So the plea bargain, the prosecuting attorney comes to your attorney either by phone or nowadays by email or somehow and says, if you plead guilty, not to the crime you've been charged with, but perhaps to a crime that's one grade lower than that, then we don't have to go to trial. This whole thing will end. But when you accept a plea bargain, you're not necessarily guaranteed what the sentence will be because the judge actually
it's still up to the judge.
The
still up to the judge, isn't it? Right.
Right.
So you did not accept the plea bargain. You and your husband said, no, we're not going to take the plea bargain, right?
Yeah. When we came to that point, actually, we came home from a meeting with our lawyer, and my husband looked at me and said, we have to make a decision now. And he said, if I accept a plea bargain, if I plead guilty to something that I did not do, he said, I know it's going to eat away at me every day of my life. I'm going to wake up thinking about it. I'm going to go to sleep thinking about it, and I'm probably going to die earlier. He said, but I look at you, and every time there's a phone call from the lawyer or something happens, you start crying. You've lost weight. You know, I don't want to say I was a nervous wreck, but he said, I will accept the plea bargain to end this ordeal if going forward means that you're going to be sick about it.
And Michelle, I've got to stop you right here because we've got to take a break. I want to come back and ask you a couple of more questions. The book is called Bogus Allegations, The Injustice of Guilty Until Proven Innocent. You can find it on our website at www.jimbrownusa.com. By the way, I write a weekly column often about criminal activity and maybe being falsely persecuted and prosecuted. You can find that on the website, too. This is the Common Sense Show. Let me freshen up my coffee. We'll come back and talk a lot more.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
True or false? Some contractors do business illegally without even knowing it.
It's true. I'm Stephen Klein, chairman of NAPAC, the National Association of Professionally Accredited Contractors. We help contractors operate their businesses properly to avoid government or private fines and lawsuits.
So someone may think their contract is legal, but it may not be?
That's right. The laws constantly change, and it's hard to keep up with. NAPAC constantly monitors the laws state by state. We have the documents contractors need to operate safe and sound.
Why not just go to a lawyer?
You could, but most don't understand how home improvement really works. At NAPAC, we have the forms, guides, and agreements contractors need, approved by the nation's top remodeling law firm.
And now NAPAC will review any home improvement contract for basic compliance for free?
Absolutely free, but for a limited time only.
Scan both sides of your contract and email it to info@napac.net. info@napac.net. For a free confidential contract review, info@napac.net.
Your freedoms are on the line. The Second Amendment is in danger. How soon before your freedoms are taken away? What can you not live without? What is your greatest dependency? Is it your guns? Is it your home? No, it's food. It all boils down to the food supply. Tyrannical governments control people by controlling their food supply. Don't be dependent. Be self-sufficient. Don't wait for the government to feed you. Feed yourself. I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Do like Alex has done and get a supply of food from eFoods Direct. It's the best long-term storable food on the planet. Get the popular Mega Patriot Pack free, a 24-day supply of food plus stove, cookpot, and fuel. Call 800-250-1857 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get up to 20 Mega Patriot Packs free with purchase. Build your food supply, be in control, be self-sufficient, and be a patriot. Call 800-250-1857 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get your free Patriot Pack today.
Bills in front of Congress right now could take away your right to keep and bear arms. If Obama has his way, all guns will be either banned, restricted, or confiscated, possibly by executive order. The best way to keep your guns is to hide them. What Obama can't find, Obama can't take away. You can protect your guns from any threat. Download our special report, How to Hide Your Guns, at GoHideYourGuns.com. Learn how to hide your guns while keeping them readily available. Get the report now before they make us take it down. On the web at GoHideYourGuns.com. Sergeant Dave Scott, Army Search and Rescue veteran, wants you to hear this urgent message. All emergencies have casualties, but in America, most casualties from storms like Katrina and Sandy only happen because good people were in the wrong place at the wrong time. Don't let that happen to you. Visit yourbugoutplan.com on the web Watch a free video presentation of the skills you need to be long gone before any disaster can touch you. You owe it to yourself and to your family to watch this. Head to yourbugoutplan.com on the web right now, yourbugoutplan.com.
Do you suffer from low-functioning adrenal or thyroid gland? Did you know that mercury from your dental fillings comes off your teeth both as a vapor and as metal particles into your body? Wherever mercury deposits in your body, it stops cells from functioning normally. Animal studies show that mercury causes kidney function to drop by 60%. Mercury deposited into your adrenals or thyroid will cause a corresponding drop in function. The number one method by which your body detoxifies itself of mercury is glutathione. The number one superfood that helps turn on all 75 trillion cells of your body to produce glutathione is non-denatured whey protein from grass-fed cows. After investigating most high-end whey proteins on the market, only one is the most non-denatured, the most active, the most complete, and in our opinion, the most powerful in what nature originally put into the fresh raw whey. It is One World Whey. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
Hey, we're talking to the author of a new book called Bogus Allegations, The Injustice of Guilty Until Proven Innocent. Michelle Jesse is my guest, talking about a conviction of her husband who was innocent and what they had to go through. Now, Michelle, when you talk about plea bargaining, you give the reader a very specific direction in terms of explaining how the system works and why there is so much interest in plea bargains. Explain that to my listeners, why prosecutors really try to use plea bargains as often as they can.
Well, I never knew this before I was involved with the system, but apparently 90% of all felony accusations never go to trial. They get satisfied by people accepting a plea bargain. Now, if you think about it, were 90% of those people guilty of the crime of which they'd been accused? And it's unfair both ways when you think about it. If somebody did commit a crime, they've basically pled guilty to something less than what they actually did. If you didn't commit any crime, you pleaded guilty to something you didn't do because you couldn't afford the financial or emotional turmoil or the restrictions that went with trying to proceed to actually go to a jury trial. Only 5% of people who end up being convicted of felonies have actually been convicted in a jury trial. The rest of them basically pled guilty to some sort of felony, some class of felony, in order to end the situation. There's no doubt that the Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say there's probably no doubt that the criminal justice system is overworked. And so what they want to do is they want to resolve cases. They want to close them. And the way they close them is not by investigating. Because what I found, I mean, the whole case against my husband was so absurd. If anybody reads the book and actually looks at the facts, they'll be saying, I don't understand why they're going to trial. I don't understand why they're prosecuting. That's what most lawyers, all of the lawyers who looked at the information and the disclosure document said. They said they got to drop the charges. This is ridiculous. But they don't investigate. They don't look at it. They just want to get it resolved. And the way they get it resolved is to try to get you to accept a plea bargain. Because then,
right,
you know, they get a conviction of sorts, you know, so they're not soft on crime or anything. And they dispose of the charges and they dispose of the case.
Well, you talked about the fact that your family and your friends often will encourage you to accept the plea bargain. Now, what did you find when you studied that area?
Well, it became more evident. I mean, there were some times during the process where I was so stressed, you know, the uncertainty. Was my husband suddenly, I mean, think about it. If he'd been convicted of a felony, just when he got accused, we had to take all of the guns that we owned that were in our house, and we had to find storage for them off the premises because one of the conditions of his bail was that he could not be in proximity to a weapon. Knives, I mean, even like hunting knives, you know, and things like that, we had to move all of that out of our house because it couldn't be in the house. If he was convicted of that, our pastimes as far as hunting and target shooting and things like that. He couldn't do that. I mean, I don't think he could even vote if he was convicted of a felony.
But of course, if your family and friends were encouraging you to take a plea bargain, that would still take effect. In other words, you'd still give up those rights because you'd. So why do you think that a lot of your family would encourage you to take a plea bargain?
Well, there were friends who afterwards, when they read the book, even though they knew what was going on at some level, when they read the book, they apologized for the fact that they had encouraged us to take the plea bargain. There's this real desire. You're tired. You want it to be over. You just want to end this whole process. You're writing checks to your lawyer every month. Maybe you're writing checks to a private eye to investigate or do things. It's not a cheap process to defend yourself if you choose to finance it yourself. We ended up closing retirement accounts, taking a loan against my 401k. It was expensive, and we sold a boat, we sold a motorcycle, things that weren't essential to our day-to-day life. It was just, there was all this outflow and there was all this uncertainty about what would happen. And it's hard to explain. It's like you're really tired, you're really stressed, you want it to be over, and maybe you move into a little bit of an irrational kind of decision-making process. And you have to be careful. You have to make the right, anybody who finds themselves in that position has to make the right decision for themselves. And I can't fault anybody. I don't know if you've had friends. I've known people say, if I ever have cancer, I'm not doing chemo. Well, that's great. You say that because you've never had cancer, But when confronted with that decision, it's very different at that point in time. And that's kind of like the American justice system, It's like a fatal disease, and you don't know how you're going to deal with it unless, unfortunately, you find yourself involved in it.
Well, now, are there any pros at all to a plea bargain then? I guess you can put some of this pressure to end, but I guess as you just said, if you're paying for your own defense, you can end the outflow of this cash and outflow of the stress. I guess it all comes down to just what, and I've had several people tell me that, boy, if the federal government would bring even false charges against me, if I could, take a short sentence or something, I'd do it just so I'd have all my money in the bank. I'd have my retirement. I don't want to spend everything we own to defend myself. And a lot of people think that way, and for good reason.
It's a logical decision. That's why I say if anybody's confronted with it, first and foremost, they have to make the decision that's right for them. But they also have to consider their family, what the toll is on their family and whether their family can support it. When I say support it, I don't mean just financially, but can support them emotionally as they go through this. And the thing you have to remember, and our lawyer pointed this out a number of times, even though you're innocent and even though you've made the decision to go to trial, there is no guarantee that you're going to be found innocent. We hear stories almost every day about people.
Oh, there we go.
Years in prison and later on are found to not have committed the crime, and they're tragic stories. So you don't know. You don't know the outcome. And the one thing about the plea bargain is you may know the degree of the felony or the misdemeanor that you plead to. You're not always certain of what kind of sentence you're actually going to get from the judge, but there is the uncertainty at least ends.
Very much so. Now, what made you write a book? I know you got this situation behind you and your husband, but what made you decide, hey, I want to tell my story. I want to put this down in writing. I want to write a book.
Well, during the ordeal, our lawyer told us not to discuss the details of anything with people. People knew what was going on in general, and it actually had been printed in the paper. Even before my husband was formally charged, it was in the newspapers, both the local paper and the Denver paper. And so because I couldn't talk to a lot of people, I couldn't talk to anybody, I kind of kept a journal, and it was just a way for me to record what was happening and my feelings at different times. When it was over, and I'm sure some of your listeners are thinking, well, why didn't you just sue the person, brought the charges? They were obviously false. Why didn't you pursue some sort of recourse against them? And we considered that. In fact, during the ordeal, that was one of the things that kind of kept my husband motivated and sane. And so when we got done, we consulted some lawyers who specialize in this sort of things, and they said, yep, you can do it. out, but just be aware that if you do it, you're going to spend more time in the courts. You're probably going to spend another $50,000 to try to, you know, bring this to court or to trial. And even if you are found to be correct, even if the judge says, yep, you know, these were false charges, you have a right to some recourse, what you're going to get may be $1,000 or $2,000 in retribution or whatever. And so it was like, you know, we were tired of the court system. We were tired of paying out money. Actually, we didn't have any money at that point to do it. So I said, you know what? I'm going to write a book. I'm going to take my notes that I kept or my journal that I kept, because there's so many people. I get emails from my website, which is www.bogusallegations, from people who've been accused of crimes similar to what my husband was accused of. People who've been, you know, I mean, the most tragic one I heard of is some guy who walked into a bathroom and opened a stall and there was a kid in there, but the door wasn't locked, and he got charged for, as a pedophile, for sexual crimes, you know, and all he did was open the wrong door in a bathroom. Grandparents or spouses who get accused of child abuse because they're going through a divorce and somebody's mad and they don't want these people to have the right
just
to the kids.
Hey, Michelle, we're about out of time, but I want to tell listeners the book is called Bogus Allegations, The Injustice of Guilty Until Proven Innocent. Quite a read, and you don't think something like this can affect you, but until you do, some real lessons learned. Michelle, you've done a great job of putting all this together with annotations and a great deal of information. That book's on our website at jimbrownusa.com, and Michelle, you've got a website, bogusallegations.com. Is that correct?
That's correct. Thanks, Jim.
Good. Hey, listen, thanks for spending some time with us. Good luck on the book. Hopefully we can come back and talk about it again in the near future.
Thank you very much. You have a nice day.
Bye-bye. Again, Bogus Allegations, The Injustice of Guilty Until Proven Innocent. Really a compelling story. You think you're just having a dinner party. Next thing you know, you're in court spending a ton of money. Hey, we're going to take a break for the top of the hour and get some news, then come back with some really interesting stuff. I'm going to talk about how you deal with stress. I'm going to talk about some outrageous jury awards. Cinco de Mayo, you talk about it. We're going to be right here. Jim Brown's Common Sense. Freshen up your coffee and enjoy the news, and I'll be right back.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNLive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNLive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNLive.com. Again, that's GCNLive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Springtime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at HerbalHealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's spring specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fem and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best selling liquid CalMag vitamin D, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for spring at herbalhealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at herbalhealer.com.